Hello there. I am the Projectionist, and welcome to my sinister Tales of Terror. Welcome back, dear listeners. Thank you for agreeing to meet me once more down here in the vault for another of my gruesome stories. It does my heart good to have these little chinwags to look forward to every week. I apologize that the storm didn't hold off before you arrived. Why, you were positively soaked to the bone. Here, take this rag while I see to the lights in the vault door. What are those stains upon the rag? Why, I'm not sure. Looks to be ketchup, does it not? that is more like it. Just one more candle to help us see each other better. It certainly sounds like the devil is beating his wife, That storm outside has absolutely given me the idea for which tale from my grimoire to share with you. I call it Toenails. Sally Farnham was startled awake by the crashing sound of the thunderstorm outside her bedroom window. Percival, her English shepherd, rose to all fours and barked furiously at the lightning that illuminated her window, momentarily casting shadows across her bedroom wall from the ancient trees neighboring the house. "It's okay, boy," Sally calmly said, in an attempt to calm her canine companion's agitated state. Percival looked back at its master as she leaned out from her bed to run her fingers through its fur. "It's only the thunder, you silly dog," the young woman smiled as she petted him. He had been a gift from her parents for her second year away from home while attending Rutgers University. She was able, with help from her mother and father, of course, to rent this two-story house on the borders of Haddonfield. Most college students had the task of finding a suitable roommate to split the costs, but as her parents were, to put it frankly, well off, she had the luxury of having the place to herself. Her and Percival, that was. Sally liked to think he was smiling as she gently petted him, and it did seem like he had a somewhat grateful look in his eyes as the thunder appeared to move away from their home. Finally, the dog opened his jaws wide in a yawn. Both Sally and Percival jumped as the lightning strike smashed just a few feet from their home. It shook the entire house. And Percival, with a yelp, ran, its toenails making a staccato tapping sound upon the wooden floor, as the dog managed to hide behind the armoire cabinet. After long seconds, the dog managed to summon up the courage to peek its head from behind the cabinet. "How very brave," Sally muttered under her breath. Although the young woman admitted she had been almost ready to join Percival after that last lightning strike, ever since she was a young girl, when she and her parents had lived in a little suburb on Dwight Avenue, just off White Horse in Collingswood, Sally had been unnerved by storms. She realized it had more than a little to do with the teasing of the neighborhood kids, who swore on their eye teeth that the house they lived in was the home of a known witch back in the 1900s. Cristabella da Silva was the old woman's name, and after children in the village began to disappear, the townsfolk began to point the sanctimonious fingers in her direction. It didn't take long for the villagers of Collingswood to find there was need of a good witch burning to sate their anger and fear. Which is how poor Cristabella found herself tied to a stake outside her home as the torch-wielding townsfolk demanded to know where their children were. The kids had told Sally that Cristabella da Silva screamed to the heavens that she would have her revenge, crying out for divine punishment in the form of lightning strikes to those who had wronged her. Sally remembered how vividly she pictured the events in her mind as the neighborhood children had formed almost a circle around her as they finished the tale. After da Silva finished her pleas for revenge, a single lightning bolt had lanced down from the clear night sky, killing the old woman instantly, but causing her and the kindling around her to catch flame. The young woman remembered how the children, in almost hushed reverence to their own kind, detailed how the parents had in fact found their lost moppets within Cristabella's home. Well, what remained of them, that is, was located in the house, in the basement, within the old cistern. Sally recalled how she had scoffed at the children's story, but come nightfall, found herself terrified of going to sleep, as there was indeed a boarded-up cistern in the basement of her family's home. She hadn't been able to shake the mental image of the remains of the children somehow becoming animated, prying away the ancient wooden boards to come searching for the witch, the body parts crawling across the floor in search of the woman who had killed them. Which is when the lightning bolt had struck the side of their house, and she had screamed in terror and ran crying into her parents' bedroom. Ever since that day, the young woman had found herself a little frightened by thunderstorms. As a young woman now, she scoffed at her childhood fears, but it was hard not to let those thoughts from her youth creep into her mind again, especially with the storm outside the house. The house shook again, and this time, Percival went racing downstairs, his toenails echoing across the floors as he headed to his indoor doghouse down in the living room. "Percival," Sally cried in exasperation. Getting out of her comfy bed, she reached the steps that led down from the landing. As the lights went dark, for long seconds, Sally Farnham just stood there, motionless, the darkness all-encompassing, no noise except for the steady downpour outside. With a heavy sigh, placing her hand on the railing, she took baby steps back towards her bedroom, feeling in the dark for the little bedside table. Once she had reached her bed, she shook her head in mock dismay as she heard Percival's toenails clicking on the wooden floor behind her. "I have a big test tomorrow, you know," she mentioned as she leaned down to open the bedside table and retrieve the flashlight within. Clicking it on, she shined the bright beam of light behind her. There, behind the armoire cabinet, she could see Percival's muzzle poking out from behind. Sally groaned at her canine companion's behavior as she walked out of the bedroom, feeling even more annoyed when her flashlight beam momentarily captured the fear in Percival's wide eyes. "I hope you're happy, Percy," she called back. "You've got me totally awake now." Sally walked down the steps to the living room and into the adjoining kitchenette. It wasn't that large, but for a single young woman whose focus was on study, she had needed anything bigger. She rarely had guests, and her romantic prospects hadn't been panning out lately. Why, that last date her friend Heather had set her up with had been more interested in making out than watching Night of the Comet. Finally, she had to excuse herself and leave the movie theater. Some people just couldn't take a hint. Opening the refrigerator, she pulled out a half-empty bottle of Chardonnay. Setting the flashlight on the little counter so she could open a cabinet and withdraw a wine glass. Pouring the remainder of the wine into the glass, she called out, "Come on, Percival, get down here. You know I hate to drink alone," she added. Silence answered her. Sally sighed heavily, picking up the flashlight as she walked into the living room. Walking around her couch, her flashlight revealed Percival sprawled on the wooden floor. The glass of wine slipped from her hand to shatter on the floor, followed by the flashlight, which bounced as it hit and rolled, illuminating the corpse of Percival and all of that spilled blood. Sally's hands shot upward, clutching her mouth, stifling the welling up of a scream as her mind grasped that something had removed her poor dog's head. The realization of that, the horror, came to the young woman just as the sound of sharp toenails on wood came from behind. Well now, dear listeners, how did you enjoy toenails? It may interest you that a house on the outskirts of Haddonfield has just been made available. The rent is quite cheap, I assure you. I wish to thank Lynn Lowry of West Jordan, Utah, for that charming tale. I do have some rather important news to share with you concerning my radio show. Beginning with this very episode, it will no longer be carried on the Retro West Network. There's no cause for alarm. No bad blood exists between the Retro West and myself. It was that Victor, my co-host of Saturday Frights, became concerned that perhaps my show didn't conform to the more family-friendly fare of the Retro West Network. Sage tells me that my radio show will still be carried on the iTunes in the near future, and that my broadcasts will be hosted now on an internet archive. Whatever that is. Now remember, if you too have a tale of fear and frights, and would like for me to share it on the air, you may contact me on the Facebooks. Projectionist Haunted Drive-In. I will admit that I rarely check in on a day-to-day basis, but I will get your electronic missives. So listeners, I hope to see you here next week at the same time for more of my sinister tales of terror. How much is that dog in the window? The one with the waggly tail.